Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and we are live at Auto Forum's Price Auto Group. We've been down here for most of the day, and now that we're into the afternoon sports drive, we're joined by a special guest who's joining me via telephone. We have Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, I know you're almost done for the weekend, so I do appreciate you taking out the time, even though you should be enjoying yourself. Thank you very much.
There's no off day at radio. You know that, my friend.
No. We never have an off day, that's for sure. But that's okay, especially this time of the year, Steve. And you're joining us to talk some Major League Baseball because, well, we're about a month away from the trade deadline and things are starting to get interesting. You start to see teams separate from the field. You know, you look in the National League right now, you have the Cincinnati Reds who are in dead last. They've been a hot topic as far as the trade deadline goes with Jay Bruce. You look in the American League, a place like Cleveland, surprisingly enough, sounds like a landing spot for Bruce. You have teams that are always buyers at the deadline, like the Yankees and the Red Sox, and the AL East has been so interesting throughout the year. It's a perfect time for baseball. This is when baseball really starts getting interesting for the casual fan.
Oh, absolutely. Second half of the season, you come out of the All-Star break. You know, some of the big storylines you mentioned a moment ago, the buyers and sellers of the trade deadline. You mentioned, you know, two completely different teams in the same state, the Cleveland Indians and the Cincinnati Reds, both going in completely different directions right now. I think Cleveland's lead is good enough right now that they just don't need to, they don't need to do a lot. They probably need one more arm. That's what every team with playoff aspirations needs, an arm, whether it's a guy, a setup guy, a closer guy, a starter. They always look for that. So I think you're going to look for Cleveland to make a move there. I think their lead of 6.5 games is safe. I don't know if they're going to win the division running away here. I think Kansas City still has a ways to improve here. Detroit, I think they fired their best shot earlier in the year. But I think Cleveland's going to win that division. I think you're going to see them very active. As far as Cincinnati's concerned, you mentioned them a moment ago. What an absolutely disastrous season it's been for the Cincinnati Reds. Worst run differential in Major League Baseball, minus 146. They're 18-25 at home, 14-29 on the road. They're dead last in the National League. I see them being big sellers right now because they're clearly going to make some moves during the off season as well. So I think you're going to see them make some decisions as well. As far as players are concerned, you know, I mean, you look at some other teams that might be ready to make the moves. The San Diego Padres, they're probably ready to make some moves as well. San Diego appears out of it right now, out of complete contention in the National League West. And what a disaster it's been for them and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Two teams that kind of went into the season with some aspirations of doing much better this year. So I think they're ready to make a move. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the Yankees also make a move. The Yankees are obviously done in their division race. I think it's going to be very interesting to see which teams are going to be willing just to pass off on guys right now so these guys can get on to some contenders.
We'll talk about the Yankees here in just a second. I do want to talk about the Colorado Rockies, who typically at this time of the year, they are sellers. I mean, we've seen recently, you know, in the past 5 years, a deal for Ubaldo Jimenez when they sent him to Baltimore. We've seen Troy Tulowitzki leave town. The name that they have always refused to trade is Carlos Gonzalez. Now, he's only got about a year and a half left on his current deal. He's batting .329. That's the best since 2010. He's got 18 homers, 51 RBIs. It seems like right now would be the best time for Colorado to move Gonzalez. Although when you look at what they've accomplished in the NL West, the Rockies for most of the, you know, the first half of the season, they were right there. Now they're 14 games back. Seems like it should be the right time to move Gonzalez, Steve.
I think it's the right time to move Gonzalez because you look at the Rockies. I watched that 3-game set they played last week against the Dodgers, and they have zero heart. I mean, they have for the most part, I think, kind of phoned in this season, with the exception of a guy like Trevor Story, who turned out to be such an amazing prospect right there for them. I think they phoned it in. They're already, you know, like you mentioned, 14 games out of the lead in the National League West right now. They're not making up that kind of ground. I think you're right, though. With Carlos Gonzalez's big contract looming in the distance right now, you just wonder if he's not. I got the sense, you know, that he's not happy in Colorado. I don't know where he goes. where he's going to be happy. I don't know where he fits right now. I think an interesting team for him, obviously, you don't want to keep him in the National League where next year you'd have to face him, whatever. I think an interesting spot for him would be Seattle. I think they're still a very much a player in the American League West. I know Texas has that big 6.5 game lead. I think Seattle, they can just get over some of their other pitching lows. I think Seattle's still a big player. I would not be surprised if Seattle made a push here to look at Carlos Gonzalez.
We talked about Jay Bruce at the very beginning of this segment. When we're talking about National League bottom dwellers, we might as well bring up Jay Bruce. And, interesting enough, I kind of compare him, Steve, last year to a guy like Cespedes. I think it's a fair comparison. Here's a guy that was moved. The New York Mets had him on the radar last year as well with Jay Bruce, and the Reds decided not to go away with Bruce. But this year he's batting .279. He's got 17 home runs. He's owed $6.1 million from this point on in the last year of a contract, but it does include an option for next year. Does that deal look more enticing to you than Carlos Gonzalez right now?
Oh, wow. If you're asking me to choose between one or the other, you know what? I'll give you that one. I'll give you Bruce. I think Bruce is an interesting guy that if you can, depending on what, I think a lot of it depends on what Seattle or any other team would be willing to part ways with right now. But you're right. Jay Bruce is a guy who's got a little bit more time probably left in him than Carlos Gonzalez. I don't think he comes with nearly the issues perhaps that Carlos Gonzalez comes with. So I think either one of those two. I think either one of those guys would be interesting. I would like to. Just from a selfish standpoint, I'd love to see Dave Bruce come to the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers made some critical mistakes in the offseason last couple of years. I thought the way they handled the Matt Kemp situation was bad. And boy, you'd love to see. I mean, as a Dodger fan, I'd love to see Dave Bruce in that outfield for the Dodgers.
I'm glad you bring up the Dodgers. Let's talk about them. Right now, 48-40 in the NL West. They're 6.5 games back of the Giants. Of course, Clayton Kershaw still about 3 weeks away from returning. You talk about Andrew Friedman and how he has mishandled a couple of situations. The one that glares to me right now is Zach Greinke. And really, just looking at it, if the Dodgers would have offered Greinke a sixth-year guaranteed, there's a great chance that he is still in LA right now. And of course, you're still going to miss Clayton Kershaw, but boy, you have a legitimate ace in Zach Greinke. Despite his struggles in Arizona, it just seems like Friedman, for everything he was billed to be, has really made some questionable decisions that have not panned out early on in his tenure in LA.
But at the same time, and I'm gonna go a different angle on the Greinke situation. You say if they'd offered him this, if they'd offered him that, if Zach Greinke would have realized that the Arizona Diamondbacks traditionally are a dumpster fire of a baseball team,
right,
then we're not having this conversation.
Right.
I look at the Zach Greinke situation. Greinke, he got to L.A., he had the success there. I would argue that the success was based on the team that was around him and had as much to do with that as it had to do with his ability. And now he goes to an Arizona team where they sold him a bill of goods and he bought in. And now it looks like a disaster. And I would argue that the Dodgers, they've gotten the better end of the deal, obviously, because I think he would have been fine staying in Los Angeles. But if that was the way he wanted to go, then good riddance to him. I understand that, I would have loved to have had him in the rotation. And clearly now, like you said, with the Kershaw injury, it would have been nice to have had another ace in the hole right there with Zach Greinke. But I'm of the opinion that he made that choice. He decided to go that direction. I'm fine with him going that direction. And I'm fine watching him just be a completely disaster, watching that dumpster fire go on out in Arizona.
So with that being said, right now this team, even though they've lost three consecutive, they're still right now, they would have a wild card spot out of the National League. They're obviously buyers at the trade deadline. Who do they target? I know you mentioned San Diego would definitely be sellers. Would San Diego consider doing another deal with an in-division rival? The Dodgers obviously have to add some pitching. Maybe you add another outfielder. Where do they go here over the next couple of weeks?
Boy, you mentioned pitching. I mean, let's face it. Kershaw, you're going to find out these next 3 weeks once the All-Star breaks over how valuable he is. Without him in the rotation right now, you figure you can go 550, 600 coming out of the All-Star break here. They're going to be in great position. And to be honest, If you would have told me going into All-Star break weekend that the L.A. Dodgers would be 8 games above .500, that you're sitting solid in second place right now behind the Giants, I would take that. I would take that all day. If you told me that they would have, what is it, essentially, what is that, a 2.5-game lead in the National League wild card spot right now, I would take that. I would take that all day long because they lost so much during the offseason. Like you mentioned, the questionable moves, you know, they gave up a lot with the Greinke loss there. If you told me that they were going to be in that position, I would take that position. So I think it's pitching. They've got to go, and they've got to get another starter. They've got to get someone out there who can provide them 10, 11, 12 starts the rest of the way in here. Someone to fill in the gap for a little bit while Kershaw gets himself healthy. Because even when he comes back, even after the DL, he's going to need a couple of weeks to get back into that rotation mode. So you're talking 5-6 weeks now. So I think it's important by August 1 that they find that other arm in that rotation, whether it's an arm, you know, whether it's a 7-8-inning guy or whether it's just a 6-inning guy. Because surprisingly, the setup guys for the Dodgers have done well. The Chris Hatchers and guys like that, they've done well. So I'm okay with that. Jansen's been solid coming out of the bullpen in the closer position. So I'm okay with that. But they need that starting guy. They need that gap, that closer gap guy, and they need that starter guy. As far as offense is concerned, yeah, they have a hole here or two. But when they're on, Jordan, they're on. I mean, when they score runs, when they move them, when they play small ball, which is what they've done pretty well this year, they've done well at it. And I'm okay with that. I'd like to see them continue that. I just really need to see them make a concerted effort for a big time, you know, prospect in the starting pitcher area.
We'll end with this. You mentioned the Yankees early on. You've completely written them off. You say there's absolutely no chance. They're out of the race in the AL East right now. So there's two names that pop up. Aroldis Chapman, and there was a lot of drama surrounding Chapman in the offseason. Remember, he had agreed to terms with the Dodgers before his domestic violence case became a big issue. And then you also have Carlos Beltran. These are two names that if the Yankees are out of it, they have to move. They have no choice, right? You've got to move on between these two guys.
It's interesting you bring up Chapman because you mentioned, you know, the Dodgers had a deal already set with him. And I wasn't a fan of it in the beginning because you'd have the Jose Reyes story. You see how that's played out now with Colorado dumping him off on the New York Mets over there. You know what? Chapman would be absolutely amazing in a Dodger uniform. He'd look so good in a Dodger uniform. And you almost wonder if, you know, having him around, especially some of the veteran guys in that clubhouse and some of the veteran guys that are there, the Kershaws, these are no-nonsense guys. And you get the impression that this team is starting to buy in a little bit to Dave Roberts. They're starting to buy into his philosophy a little bit right now. You know, I'm not a big fan of the domestic violence pickup guy. I'm not. But I understand it that if you need that pitcher, if you need that guy who's just going to throw flames all day, then maybe that's the guy you go with there. But yeah, you're right. They have to make these moves. The Yankees absolutely are done. I see nothing in this team right now. They're only 7.5 games out of the division right now. But those are three juggernauts in front of them between Baltimore, Toronto, and Boston. Those three teams aren't going anywhere right now. And I look at those three teams, it's going to be one of those three. I think it's going to be Baltimore. I think of all the teams in the American League right now, I think Baltimore, even though it's only a 2-game lead, I love this team. I am such a fan of Baltimore this season. What they've done so far has, to me, been very impressive. They score a lot of runs. I'd love to see them get an arm in the bullpen, maybe. But I think Baltimore is very solid in that American League East. The Yankees, however, they got to make some moves. And they both are going to start considering the future at third base. They've got to start considering what you're going to do post Alex Rodriguez, because clearly his numbers this year have tailed off badly. They got to start looking for a new guy in that position as well.
Well, Chapman may be a great start to start building. I mean, this guy's 15 of 16 as far as save chances go this year. And so he's got a 13.7 strikeout to walk ratio this year. That's unbelievable, Steve. And this guy's only owed $5.7 million the rest of the year. That's a game changer for any contender.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the numbers there. I mean, you think about, I mean, obviously, you know, when you've got a guy like Jansen already in your bullpen, the Dodgers don't need another guy in the bullpen. But let's face it, if you can get 6-7 innings at an insert name of starter here, and you've got the option of one or the other coming out of your bullpen, one guy in the eighth, one guy in the ninth, done. I mean, that's what you've really made your job. You've made every starter's job on that roster a little bit easier, especially for Maeda, especially for a guy, especially, you know, with the other pitcher who just came back yesterday. If you can make their jobs easier, you could reduce the workload of a starting pitcher now to a 6-inning game. And let's face it, that's what the starting pitcher game has turned into now. The starting pitcher game, if you can turn him into a 6-inning guy, and you've got the setup guys, you've got the Hatcher, you've got the Howell, you go to your Chapman, you can go to your Jansen. Then it's a huge difference right there.
Steve Bordstein, host of First Sports, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Always great to get you on, Steve. Go ahead and tell the listeners where they can find more of Steve Bordstein.
5 days a week, mornings 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on iHeartRadio through our station's website at foxsports1340.com. You can also follow me and like our fan page on Facebook at First Sports with Steve Bordstein. Follow us on Twitter at Fox1340AM. And Jordan, much like you work on the weekends, I also do a horse racing show on the weekends called The Fast Track. That airs also on the iHeartRadio app, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday mornings, also through the iHeartRadio app at our website at FoxSports1340.com.
Steve Bordstein joining us for some hot stove baseball talk. As always, Steve, it's great to get you on. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. We'll talk soon.
We're going to pause for just a moment, but we have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We are live at Auto Farms Price Auto Group.